Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, our gospel lesson is the theme of our service today and our sermon today. Today, O Lord, you hear about God's people. We, his people, are to be forgiving people. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, there is no doubt about it. There's an unforgiving spirit in our society and world today. As a matter of fact, you've all heard this before. Do unto others before they do unto you. But if you get caught, blame it on someone else. Never take responsibility for what you've done. That's because forgiveness is for weaklings. And that's why we have so many, that's one of the reasons why we have so many problems in our lives today, in society and across this globe. People are unwilling to say, I am sorry, please forgive me. And they are unwilling to say, I forgive you. So today Jesus tells us a truth. A truth from a very famous parable that most of us know. And it's from a parable in the 18th chapter of Matthew. Have you noticed? For the last three Sundays, we've been spending a lot of time in Matthew chapter 18. So let's go back to the first verse and the famous question, which the question of the day is also tied into. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus gave Peter an answer and the disciples an answer and you and I an answer that sometimes we just don't like. You see, the bottom line is this, dear ones. True greatness in God's eyes and in God's kingdom is achieved only when you, a humble sinner, humbles yourself and admits your unworthiness and admits your sin. And then you trust in God's forgiving power and in the love of Jesus Christ, your Savior. God's measurement of greatness is totally opposite of what the world, our society, and many, many Christians think greatness is. So today we fast forward to today's text. And once again, Peter is asking a question. Seems like Peter has a history of this, of asking questions. And then Jesus gives him an answer that they never thought of or they never considered. Jesus gives an answer, by the way. That's the truth. Peter's question, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Well, the reason why Peter is asking this question is because the rabbis have been teaching the people for a very, very long time that forgiveness is limited to three times. You're only to forgive three times, and after that, you forget about the person. And that, the rabbi said, was taken from Amos chapter 1 and 2 and Job chapter 33. And that's not what God tells us in those three chapters. But you see, Peter is being a little more generous, isn't he? The rabbi said three times, but Peter is saying, oh, wait a minute. I'll be generous and I'll say seven times. I'll forgive up to seven times. But just like the rabbis who limited forgiveness to three, Peter is also placing a limit on forgiveness to seven. In other words, Peter is saying, there's a limit to my forgiveness. I'm not going to let the other guy take advantage of me. Yet Jesus gives Peter an answer that you and I may not like, an answer that the rabbis definitely didn't like, and an answer that Peter and the disciples may not have liked. Jesus tells us, there you see it as you look at your bulletin insert. It's printed right there before you in black and white, verse 22. Jesus, by his divine authority, he says, and he rightly corrects Peter by saying, no, you are to forgive 70 times 7. Essentially, it's such a large number that we are to never, ever be able to keep a record of how many times we forgive. My dear brothers and sisters, forgiveness isn't about record keeping. It's not about crunching the number. It's not about withholding. It's about always giving. It's never keeping score. If someone wants to keep score, let the other person keep score. That's on them. You let it go and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive, just as your Father in heaven has forgiven you. A continuing and constant obligation of love is that we are to be forgiving children of God as we are forgiven children of God. You see, there's no limits. Essentially, what Jesus is telling Peter and the other 11, and what he's saying to his disciples today here at Zion, is that there is no limit on your forgiveness. So to illustrate this for them and for you today, Jesus tells a very famous parable, the parable of the unforgiving steward, or the parable of the unforgiving servant. So let's take a look at this parable very quickly. First of all, we see that it is the king who calls in the servant. The king has this authority because he's the king. The servant did not come to the king, and the servant didn't seek out the king. He was called in by the king. So the servant has to give account. There's no choice. He must give account for what he has done. It's the law of God, dear ones. It's the law of God that alone brings you and me to account. It's the law that shows us that our debt to God is so huge that we would never willingly on our own just give it up. No, we know that we must repay. And that in itself is a problem. More on that in a moment. But you see, the servant owes. This servant owes 10,000 talents. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's silver or gold. Here's the point. 10,000 talents is 60 million denarii. A denarii is one day's wage. So this servant owes his king 60 million days of payment. Impossible to pay. It's such a huge amount that there's no way he could repay his king. Totally impossible. Now the question may arise, how in the world did he amass such a huge debt toward his king? How in the world have you amassed such a large debt against your king? Yet, his debt must be repaid, and it's utterly hopeless for him. So this king gives a demand, and his command is this. He is to be paying back by selling everything and his family going into servitude. Notice that the king's command, as you look there at the gospel lesson, the king he's not angry. He's not angry at the servant. He just says, because you owe me such a large, huge amount, this is what you must do. He doesn't throw him into prison. He doesn't have him tortured. He doesn't have him killed. Yet. But the servant, what does the servant do? He's contrite. He falls to his knees and he begs his king, King, have patience with me and I will repay every cent. It's essentially what he says. He is remorseful. He begs for mercy from his king. He says that he'll pay back everything. 60 million denarii? Really? You see, that's just an overstatement to get your attention and to get the attention of the apostles. The apostles knew, and you and I know, that such a vast amount can never be paid back to the king. Just like the debt of our sin, by our own way or will or payment, could never satisfy God's justice. All honest Christians must agree. And we can certainly understand that the wretchedness of our sin, that the wretchedness of our sin can never be repaid. And therefore, it is a natural human reaction to say to our King, to our God, to our Lord, Lord, I'll stop doing this if you'll just forgive me. I'll stop committing this sin, Lord. Have mercy on me. If you do this, then I'll do this. And God is not a quid pro quo God. We cannot make a bargain with him as this servant attempts to do. It's not possible. There's nothing you can do or say to erase the slate, to immediately have your sins disappear. There must be repayment for the rebellion that you and I have committed against our Lord. Now verse 27. And dear ones, here's the gospel. Our King, your King, this man's King, he has pity. Eplochnizome is the word in Greek. Eplochnizome. The King has pity. He has deep, heartfelt compassion for this man who is groveling before him, there, down on his knees, begging him, Lord, have patience with me. And the King has patience. More than that, he has pity. This same heartfelt compassion, we notice grace and mercy, which God had for you and the King has for this man, a sinner. We know what this mercy and grace is. For what does the King do? The servant had dared not ask him to just forgive him. No. The servant didn't say that. He just begged for patience. But the King, by his own will and grace and mercy, forgives the man. And he forgives him completely. His slate is totally wiped clean. The debt is gone. The man prayed for the king's patience. But the king instead does two things for him. He forgives the servant of all his debt. And then he takes that debt. The king takes the debt and puts it on himself. The servant's slate once again, totally blank. As if there had never, ever been a debt. He's totally free. Free of this debt. Free. Set free by his king. His master declares him forgiven. Yes, your debt is forgiven. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Immediately the servant goes out. He leaves the grace and mercy of his king. He finds his fellow servant who owes him only 100 denarii. That's about 20 bucks, by the way. And what does he do? With violent language, he grabs him and begins to choke him. Where is the forgiveness of this forgiven servant? Where is his compassion? Where is his grace? Where is his mercy? He's a hypocrite. His actions and his words were the direct opposite of his king. He was forgiven, but he is unwilling to forgive That's a hypocrite. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, there is nothing more beautiful, there is nothing more wonderful than the contrition and absolution of a sinner. There's nothing more beautiful than you falling to your knees and crying out to your Lord, "Lord, forgive me, a sinner." And God is faithful and just, and He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. But there is nothing more horrible, there is nothing so frightening than the subsequent refusal of a forgiven sinner to forgive his fellow brother or sister in Christ. This verse brings out the horror of an unforgiving spirit. What did his fellow servant do? He fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. This vile, unforgiving servant does the direct opposite of what his king does. And he does the direct opposite of what Jesus commands you and me. Jesus commands us, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. The forgiven should be just like their Father in heaven. This man is merciless. The master did not imprison this man. He did not throw him into prison. But what does he do? His fellow servant, he has him thrown into debtor's prison. And when you're in debtor's prison, there's no way you can pay back a measly 20 bucks. He made it impossible for this fellow servant to pay back a debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called their servant and said, "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours, and you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" The unforgiving servants, fellow servants, they're appalled. They're greatly distressed. And they have no choice but to report it to their king. And notice what the king says to this forgiven servant who is unforgiving. He says that he is wicked. What does wicked mean? It is one who actively participates in evil. The king is very angry. Yes, the king is very angry when we are unwilling to forgive. The forgiven servant who was forgiven simply violates his king's commands. He simply violates logic itself. You've been forgiven of all your sin. Should you not also forgive the sins of others? Should you not also have mercy, as your Father also has mercy upon you? My dear ones, so often in this life you will hear trite little statements. For instance, God does not forgive. He doesn't forgive us because we forgive others. That's wrong. Actually, we forgive others because God has already forgiven us and continues to forgive us. Or we hear these trite little sayings like, "Oh, just give it to God and let it go." Or, "Just forgive and forget." It's impossible. These are simplistic, trite answers which only demean your suffering and only takes the wounds of your hurts and opens them up wide open. Yet forgiveness is something that we are called to practice each and every day. Notice what Jesus says to his disciples. A little earlier, he told them, "And you also will pray it, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And once again, Jesus has already told them, as he already has told you, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. You see, by nature, we sinful human beings, we want to get even. We don't want to forgive. We are merciless. But by God's grace and mercy, he has shown to us his forgiveness. He has made us and retooled us and refashioned us to be merciful. So, dear ones, how are you to forgive? Some people just make it impossible, don't they? They just keep sinning and sinning and sinning against you. It seems like they make it impossible. Yes, there's no easy road to forgiveness. I know that all so well, and so do you. So don't let anyone ever tell you, once again, just give it to God and he'll take care of it. It doesn't work that way. Do you notice how Jesus ends the text this morning? This is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Forgiving one another takes time. It takes work. And yes, I know also well that it takes prayer, and more prayer. Yet it is something, once again, that we are to practice as his children. Dear ones, it begins with recognition and thanksgiving that you have been forgiven. And yes, you have been forgiven. When you sincerely seek your Lord's forgiveness, he is faithful and just, and he does forgive you of your sins. You will not be thrown into debtor's prison. You will not be cast away from him. You will not be thrown into the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Just as Jesus prayed as he hung there between the two thieves, he prays for you today, Father, forgive them. And he does. You see, that cry of Father, forgive them is a lasting cry of your forgiveness, one for you here at this cross. For here the Lamb of God hung here naked for the world to see. He did not lash out. He simply said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them of all of their sins. Forgive those who trespass against him, as I forgive you. And my dear friends, he announces that to you today. In your prayers, as you struggle with forgiveness, continue to pray. Continue to pray, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive them. And dear ones, all your sin is forgiven. Forgiven by the blood of the Lamb that has been shed for you. Forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.